Psalm 110 and the verse 3, Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Psalm 110, as we have been already saying, is undoubtedly messianic. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior himself has said it in the Gospels. And so whenever Jehovah said unto my Lord that there's Christ, and we see in verse 1 the place where Christ is, he's at the right hand of God. We see how long he's there for, until his enemies are made his footstool. So he's on the throne at the right hand of God. That's where he is now. He ascended up there. He's there presently. And this whole psalm is continuing on to this present time, because the enemies of Christ have not yet all been made his footstool. So this psalm is being fulfilled now during this age. And verse 1 is really a preface and a summary of the whole psalm. The Lord Jesus is going to reign at the right hand of God until finally all his enemies are made his footstool. And that will be at the second advent. So this psalm runs from the ascension until the second advent. And what in the meantime is the Lord Jesus doing at the right hand of God? Well, verse 2 tells us that Jehovah is sending the rod of Christ's strength out of Zion. And that's the gospel. We said that last week. I take the rod of Christ's strength to be the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That commenced at Pentecost, out of Jerusalem, begin at Jerusalem, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So out of Zion, the rod of strength has been going forth, the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's been working in hearts. It's been working in his enemies, making them willing in the day of his power, and saving them by grace, and bringing them out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. So the particular characteristic of his people, who are wrought upon by the rod of strength out of Zion, the particular characteristic of his people, we mentioned it last week, we want to go into it in more detail tonight, but the particular characteristic of his people is that they are willing in the day of power. Christ's people are made a willing people. We wouldn't expect anything else. That's why he died. That's why he came into the world. He was called Jesus, that he might save his people from their sins. And he saves them by not only removing their sins, he saves them by working in their hearts and putting in them this great willingness. So the peculiar characteristic of the people of God is willingness. We're told how they become willing in the day of power. We're told that it is in the day of gospel preaching they become willing. We're told that's how it's all done. And the Pentecost is an example of that. The Holy Spirit came down in Pentecost. 3,000 souls were converted. And how were they described? They that gladly received his word were baptized. They were made willing. They gladly received his word. That's what happened at Thessalonica. Paul said, I came to you not in word only, but in power and in the demonstration of the Spirit. I came to you with the rod of Christ's strength, the power of the gospel, and it went out amongst you, and you became followers of us, and you became followers of the Lord, and you turned willingly from idols on to God to serve the living and the true God. And so there is this great willingness. We have to say Christ is the author of this willingness. It is Christ that made them willing in the day of power. You'll remember how the Lord Jesus said, you will not come to me. The Lord Jesus said, except the Father draw you, you will not come to me. So there's an unwillingness in sinners. But Christ comes in the gospel and makes them willing in the day of his power. And so whenever we preach the gospel, if we find that there are sinners unwilling to come to Christ, if we find that we preach our heart out, we preach the wrath of God as Mr. Martin did today, and yet there's no response, there's no willingness to come to Christ, there's a rejection of Christ, there's a going on in the ways of sin again, what do we conclude? We conclude one of two things. Either they are not among his people, or else yet they have not experienced the day of power and gospel power coming to their lives. But this people in the text tonight have experienced the power of the rod of Christ's strength in the day of his power, and they're made willing. In fact, the Hebrew here is plural. Thy people shall be willingnesses in the day of thy power, implying that they are wholly, fully, and completely committed unto the Lord as a free will offering to be his. And so we consider tonight the willingnesses of Christ's true people. If you're a Christian, this should characterize you. If you're a child of God, this should be your disposition. You're willing. And so, the willingnesses of Christ's true people, what is it? Well, first of all, in Christ's true people, there is a willingness to separate from sin for Jesus Christ. Before the gospel came, we loved our sins. We were married to our sins. Before the gospel came, we were in bondage to sin, and that a glad bondage. The pleasures of sin, which are but for a season, we enjoyed. The sinner outside of Christ knows no other life. We have been studying in Peter, and you remember it is a characteristic of the unregenerate there, cannot cease from sin. Have no will to. No will to whatsoever. They can't do it. And such were we before Jesus Christ, and the rod of his strength and the day of his power came to us in our conversion. We before our conversion were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared. And so there is this love of sin, this bondage to sin, this hating and this malice and this lust and this uncleanness and an unwillingness to give it all up. But when the gospel comes, and when Jesus comes to save his people, he comes to save them from their sins. He comes to make them willing to give up sin. What a change the gospel brings. What a change the rod of Christ's strength brings into the heart and into the life of sinner. When the gospel comes, it lets us see sin in new light. It lets us feel differently towards sin. Before the gospel came, we were glad to be in our sins and glued to our sins. But after the gospel came, our attitude to sin was revolutionized, and we were willing to separate from it. And so the rod of Christ's strength makes sin appear different to us. It is to the believer now not as pleasures for a season. It's the believer now as leprosy. And we see the plague of it sometimes still remaining on our hearts. And how do we respond to it? Do we ignore it? Are we careless of it? Are we regardless to it? No, we see it for what it is, leprosy. And we desire to be free of it. We desire its reign to be broken. We desire to be free of its presence and to be washed of its stain. The rod of Christ's strength has allowed us to see sin differently. And we see that Jesus is a Savior from sin. And we see that Jesus is a sinless Savior. And we see that sin is what the Savior damns and pours out his wrath upon. It is, we see in the Gospel that it is sin that alienates us from God. We see sin in its true light and in its true nature, and we want to be free of it, of its reign and of its presence. And so the Gospel makes us willing to separate from sin. It's a bit like one changing camps. We're in one camp, the camp of ungodliness, the camp of uncleanness, the camp of sin. Among our fellow sinners, that's where we are. But the rod of Christ's strength comes and it touches us, and we change camps. We leave the camp of sin. And we go into another camp, the camp of the people of God. We go outside the camp of the world, bearing his reproach, to follow Christ. We go outside now to join the army of Jesus in battle against sin and warfare against the devil and strive against all iniquity. The rod of Christ's strength has done that, transformed us, made us willing to separate from sin, made us willing to conflict with sin, made us willing to be those who strive daily with the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's a characteristic of all of God's people. Has the rod of strength worked in your heart? Has it touched your sin loving heart? Has the rod of Moses touched the river Nile? And has it changed its nature to a sin-hating heart? Christ's rod does that in the Gospel. Thy people willing to separate from sin in the day of thy power. But not only is there a willingness to separate from sin, willingness to repent of sin and to turn from it and to leave the camp of the ungodly, there is also a willingness to come to Christ, a willingness to receive the Lord Jesus, a willingness to embrace him in all his offices, willing to come to Jesus. We were very unwilling to come to Christ, weren't we? Oh, how many times we heard the word and we felt the power of the word calling us from our sins, and we weren't willing to leave our sins, and we weren't willing to come to Christ, and we resisted and we fought and we strove against the power of the word until it broke through and made us willing. And what a change it effected in us. Now we run to embrace him. Now we say we will not let him go. He's ours and we won't let him go again. Oh, what a willingness in us now to receive Jesus. It is a characteristic of the people of God. He will not come to me, but the rod of strength changes it all. Now we will come to Jesus. Isaiah chapter 44 and the verse 5. Whenever the Spirit of God is poured out upon the dry ground, the Gentiles. I will pour out my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. And here's a great effect of it. This willingness in the day of power, this day of the outpouring of the Spirit, this Pentecost, in verse 1, one of the outcomes of it is, one shall say, I am the Lord's. And another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. What a change is effected in these people by the outpouring of the Spirit. The heathen, the ungodly, the non-Israelite, now with the work of grace in his heart, says, I'm Jehovah's. Now he says, I'll take the name of Jacob, I'll be called the seed of Abraham, I'll belong to the camp of Israel, I'll write with my hand and sign my name, I'm the Lord's, made willing in the day of power, willing to come to Christ, willing to receive the Savior, willing to say, I am the Lord's. That's what the gospel does. It's done that in your heart, brother and sister, hasn't it? I'm the Lord's. I'm His. I give myself a free will offering unto Jesus. I embrace Him. I receive Him in all His offices. I receive Him as my prophet. I receive Him as my priest. I receive Him as my king. Rule Thou in my life. As Jehovah says unto thee, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. So I say, Lord, rule thou in my heart, and rule thou in my life, and be thou first. We've been made willing subjects of Jesus Christ. We speak as in Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 5, they shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward. Oh, there's a change now. Before their backs were towards Zion, but now they're going to ask the way to Zion. Their faces are thitherward. That's where the rod of strength has come out of, you see. That's where the power of gospel preaching has come. And there is this new saying, come. And let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. And so we've joined ourselves to the Lord. We're married to Christ in a perpetual covenant. Covenant that'll never be forgotten. Covenant that'll never be broken. A union that will never end. And the seal of it still drips from our forehead. Sealed with baptism. In our covenantal union with Jesus, we have His mark on our foreheads. We are the Lord's, willingly His, gladly His. Like Peter, we say, to whom shall we go? There's no one else that we want to go to. Thou alone, Lord, has the words of life. These other disciples, so-called, are departing in their droves. But we're not for going, Lord. Because we've been made willing in the day of thy power. You remember Zacchaeus? The Lord Jesus stopped under his tree, didn't he? Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And he came down joyfully and he received the Lord. He was made willing in the day of Christ's power. You remember Ruth and Orpah? How different the two girls. Ruth weeps. Ruth is half willing to go to Israel. Ruth is half broken about leaving her mother-in-law. Something about the religion of Israel appeals to her, but the power is not great enough. and she goes back to Moab. But Ruth is made willing. And she says, thy people shall be my people. And thy God shall be my God. And whither thou goest, I will go. And where you live, I live. And where you die and be buried there, I'll be buried as well. She was made willing. And so all of God's people are like that. They're made Ruths. They're made Zacchaeuses. Willing to follow Christ. But not only is there a willing to sever the links with sin in the day of power, not only is there a willingness to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and embrace him as he is offered to them in the gospel, that with a glad heart, but there's also a willingness to run in the way of his commandments. A willingness to run in the way of his commandments. Before our conversion, brethren and sisters, we had little regard to the law of God. We had little interest in the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw it as a heavy burden, as something we didn't want on our life, as a chain and as a rope that would bind us and burn us and be grievous to our souls, as fetters that we did not want in our lives. The yoke of Jesus, the yoke of the Lord, an unwillingness to take it on to ourselves, an unwillingness to deny ourselves. It was all so unappealing to us. Ah, but the gospel came. And the rod of strength touched our hearts and changed them. And now we love God's law. And now we embrace the yoke of Jesus. And now we have found, even as our Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew's Gospel and at the end of the chapter, come unto me, all ye that labour under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We didn't believe that at first, but having come to Jesus, having seen the yoke that is his, and the meek and lowly one who bestows it upon us, that it is easy because he gives us grace and he gives us help, and his burden has no weight at all because he has given us a glad heart to follow in his commandments and in his ways. And now we love his law. There's a willingness now to obey the Lord. Do you remember the Apostle Paul? That's why we read it tonight. He abhorred Christ. He hated Jesus. And if there was one yoke he wouldn't be taking in his life, it would be the yoke of following Christ. Until leaving Zion on the road to Damascus, the rod of Christ's strength, which had already been pricking his heart in Jerusalem. Perhaps one reason why he wanted to get out of it had run after him on the Damascus road. And it touched him in the sore. And it changed him. And that man who did not want to know Christ, did not want to serve Christ, did not want to follow Christ, he was conquered by the rod of Christ's strength. He was made a willing subject at the feet of Jesus, and the words of willingness usher out of his mouth, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? What a change! Willing to obey the word of Jesus, willing to inquire of the Christ that he formerly persecuted, willing to bow before him and say, Lord, I am now thine. What's your will for me? He was made willing. And all God's people have that disposition. And he was told, do this and do that and do the other. And you read his life, he did it and he was used and blessed of the Lord. And we have to be the same. We're made willing. And we want to follow the Lord. And we say, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? And his commandments are not grievous. We love them. And we're willing to obey them. Because the gospel has touched our hearts. It's like the demonic of Gadara, isn't it? Natural chains are no longer required in his life to get him to do something decent and something right. Society tried to come along and improve this fella. And all they could think of doing to improve him and to bind him to some form of decency was to chain him with chains. But they couldn't bind him. He broke them all. He's a wild fella. Oh, but I tell you, there's none too wild for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's none too wild when the rod of strength touches them. It transforms them. And the demonic of Gadara had a visit from Jesus. The demonic of Gadara was touched by the Lord. And now what do we see? No chains around him. Willingnesses characterize his whole life now. He willingly is clothing himself now. He willingly stops covering himself now. He willingly now stops living amongst the dead now. He willingly comes to the solitary place at the feet of Jesus now. He willingly turns from the hustle and the bustle and the speed of life to sit in a sound mind and in a sound body and in the stillness and the tranquility of a peaceful soul at Jesus' feet. The rod of strength has done that. And now he wants to follow Christ. Lord, let me go with you. I'll follow you whithersoever you go. Let me in the boat to be among your disciples. And he said, no, my child. Your desire is good. But you have to go home to your family and to tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. It wasn't a high-flying mission. It wasn't like what happens in our modern society. Someone is saved from the depths of sin, and the next day they're in the pulpit and around all the churches dramatizing something. No. That's not the way. Not a novice. Go to your home. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. And he was willing to do it. And he went. The rod of Christ's strength did that. There may be a demonic of Gadara about Guildford. There may be some in this village who are very hard. There may be some who terrify us. There may be some who we may give up on. But the rod of Christ's strength can make them like little children at Jesus' feet. Willing in the day of power to be followers of the Lord. Are we the true people of God? Do we seek out his commandments and are willing to obey them? Do we say like the psalmist in Psalm 116 and the verse 16, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. That's the demonic of Gadara's testimony. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I could break the chains of men, but the chains of the devil and of sin, I couldn't. Thou hast loosed them with the rod of your strength. And now, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant. He says it twice. And he repeats it in a metaphor. I'm the son of thine handmaid. A threefold confirmation of his willingness to be the Lord's servant. Is that us? Has the gospel reached our hearts like this? But not only a willingness to follow Christ's commands, but there's also in the people of God a willingness to suffer. A willingness to suffer. Before, there was a desire and the labour to be accepted by the world. And so the ungodly go to the world's places, and the ungodly behave in the world's way, and they do the world's things, and they do the world's lottery and all the rest, because that's what the world does. And if you want to be accepted by the world, you have to live like the world and behave like the world. They went to the dance because the world went to the dance. They spoke the language of the world to be accepted by the world. They indulged in the pleasures of the world, so on and so forth. Because no one wants to be different. No one wants to be an outcast. No one wants to suffer reproach. No one wants to be left out. And in fact, that's a very strong reason why many of us didn't come to Christ for a while. We didn't want the reproach of being a Christian. We know that being a Christian meant your friends' laughter and your friends' rejection. And for a long time we resisted, not willing to bear the cross in following Jesus, not willing to suffer that reproach, not wanting to identify with Jesus, because we would have been ashamed and afraid of the suffering that would have engulfed us in. The context of the psalm is really one of conflict and assault and battle and suffering. But after the rod of Christ enters into our hearts, and after the day of power comes to our soul, and we are subdued by the Saviour, we are brought to a point where we just bow our heads and receive Christ, knowing that we shall suffer, but we don't care. It's not the same. We choose Jesus. We take up the cross. We do not shun the cross anymore, because to shun the cross would be to shun Christ. And we would never shun Christ, and therefore we take up the cross and we follow him who bore the cross for us. The rod of strength has touched us. The rod of strength has changed us. Now, suffering for the Lord is still bitter. It is still hard. The flesh still recoils. But the Christian sees it more bitter to offend Jesus, more bitter to disobey the Lord, more bitter to sin. And so we choose a path of suffering. Every Christian does that. It's a characteristic of them. They don't choose the easy path. They choose the right path. They choose Christ's path. They follow him. The rod of strength has made them willing to do that. Is our Christianity of that nature? We would rather have a difficult life than an offended Saviour. Is our Christianity of that caliber? The rod of Christ's strength makes Christians like that. Are we more willing to suffer than to sin? More willing to be misunderstood than to offend the Lord? More willing to be ostracized than to disobey Christ? David could have done wrong on many occasions and saved himself a whole pile of trouble. He could have cut off Saul with the sword. He could have dealt wickedly with that man and cut him off in a wicked way and had an easier life. But he didn't. He followed conscience and the Lord and did right. A Christian is one who ought to have a tender conscience and rather have an uneasy and hard life than the pangs of a guilty conscience. The rod of Christ's strength does that. But not only is there a willingness to suffer for Jesus Christ, lastly, in his people, there is in them, put by the rod of this strength, a willingness to be with him, should he call. A willingness to be with him, should he call. The Christian does not seek death. The Christian does not belong for death. Those believers who sought death, such as Jonah and Elijah, were in that season in a very unhappy spiritual condition. The child of God doesn't welcome death. The child of God doesn't seek death. The child of God wants to live for the Lord and to live on to the Lord and for his life to be a free will offering unto the Lord, even in this word described, himself a willing offering unto Christ. That's what he wants to be in his life. But he knows that one day his Lord will call. And one day he will come over the mountains of time and over the mountains of our years, and he will land at our door. And he'll appear to us through the lattice. And he'll say to us, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." And I tell you this, when that day arrives, we'll be willing to go, because we're made a willing people in the day of his power. We will not gasp and struggle as those that go out into the dark and into eternity. And those loved ones who gather round us, who will wish us to hold on to life, and who will grip us as if to stop us from going out into eternity, we will have to rebuke them and say, "It is time. My Lord calls, and my Lord comes. My Saviour beckons me." And like the Apostle Paul, we will say, "Then I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Willing to go when Jesus beckons. That's what the gospel does. That's what the rod of Christ has done to the child of God. It makes the people willing to live for Christ and willing to die at the last to be with Christ. The rod of strength has done that. What a gospel we preach. That's why Paul called it the power of God unto salvation. It's what has touched our hearts. It's all that we preach. It's all that we use. It's all that we have in our hand. Like Moses, powerless, weak, nothing. But we have a rod, a mighty rod in the gospel. And we wave it, and we sway it, and we touch the hearts of men with it. And as Moses turned the water to blood, so the rod of Christ's strength turns stony hearts to flesh, makes them willing, turns unwillingness into willingness. Thank God for the gospel. Let us pray for days of power in this house. Let's pray for a day of power in our mission. Let's pray for a day of power in the church and in the nation again. It's what we need. Our Jesus reigns, and the rod of his strength is going out still. He will rule in the midst of his enemies. He'll have a willing people in the day of his power. He's our everlasting priest after the order of Melchizedek. And at last, when all his people are brought in, he'll leave heaven and he'll come down to earth and he'll wound the heathen and overrun his enemies. Drink of the brook in the way and lift up the head. All his enemies having at last been made his footstool. What a psalm. No wonder the apostles were always preaching from it and quoting it. It kept the church going in New Testament times. It'll keep us going in our times too. Let us pray.